We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell. We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell.
It's the Fatback Four. We're back. Loads to get through to this week because of games we've played, games we have coming up, loads of stuff we've done. Just to let you know, after this pod, we'll take probably a 5 minute break and then we come back and do that bonus pod we promised you. It's going to kick off from the very, very start. That's all I'm going to tell you. We've got a slight preview of it about 15 minutes ago and it's mental. Anyway, look, where we start, let's start last Tuesday night. Man City 1, Liverpool 2, 5-1 on aggregate. A massive night for Liverpool, a massive result and a massive statement. Ian, people were getting very, very nervous before this game, despite a 3-0 lead. And after 2 minutes, they were getting even more nervous. But I have to say, the Reds were absolute mustard, weren't they?
Yeah, it's that thing we talked about the other week about the improved mental strength of the side. I thought we were tremendous. I was really confident all week. I wasn't one of these doomsayers. Like, when they scored inside the first 2 minutes, my arse started twitching a bit. And then I thought, if we just get to half time with no more damage, then we can, you know what I mean, we can crack on. But then when they hit the post, when Lovren headed that shot onto the post, I think it was off Sané, wasn't it? That's when my arse really started going. But second half, we proper got a grip. Wijnaldum really started to come into his own, and then once we scored, it was all over, wasn't it? Fans were fantastic as well.
You look at the lineup, Matt. It was probably the lineup everyone predicted. There was no kind of shocks in it whatsoever. When the City one comes in, though, you're looking going, are these playing a 3-6-1? That's what it looked like. And from the very beginning, they wanted the penalties in and get as many attacking players into attacking positions and see what they could do against us. But I have to be honest, after probably 20, 25 minutes of concerted pressure, I thought they huffed and puffed and I thought they blew themselves out very, very quickly.
I don't know. We got lucky. The offside goal should have stood, hitting the post. They had quite a few chances there. If any one of them went in, it's a total different half-time. Team talk. The thing that ruined them, I thought, was Fernandinho. He got pushed further back. He was kind of covering the back three in the first half, starting attacks and then dropping in when needed. And then the second half, I don't know if it was because we pushed up an extra 10 yards or he was told to, but he was in that back line a lot more than he was in the first. But I mean, overall, we dominated. We deserved to go through. We had two very, very good halves of football. One good half at home in the second half, and then one bad half, I thought. So overall, we deserve to go through. Their lineup, that's Pep all over, isn't it? He's never just going to go the boring, try and grind out results. He's going to do something different, trying to make people talk and make Klopp think. And that's what it was. As you said, it was like a 3-1-6 or however he had them set up, but that's just Pep Guardiola. I thought it worked well first half. We were proper battered. We were chasing shadows almost. I don't know whether it was Klopp or Pep who changed half time, but we picked it up and our front three done what they always do.
I think Pep screwed up with that lineup. I said it before the game as well. It was too attacking. All right, it took us 25-30 minutes to really get to grips with them, but and if you've already put all your eggs in one basket, where do you go when you need to change it up? They couldn't go any more attacking than that. And I think playing three at the back with our front three is just asking for trouble. I think he fucked up. Like, as good a coach as he is, obviously, I think he went too early myself.
And he didn't start Aguero as well, which was a mad shout.
He's not fit though, is he?
No, I think Aguero's a mile off being fit. I think he's literally the last resort for them. Grizz, the lads have talked there about suppose the formation from Pep and he changes it around. I think Klopp got into Pep's head in the first leg, and the atmosphere of Anfield got to him at the first leg, and he leaves Sterling out, and then he plays Laporte left back, and I think we get into his head for the second leg as well. And the reason I say it is because people all week tell me, oh, City, if they come out and play the way they've been playing all season, they can score 3, they can score 4, they can score 5. And I wasn't arguing with that. But to see them come out and go that kind of gung-ho and, you know, it looked a bit desperate. The lineup to me looked a bit desperate from the very beginning. And I think Klopp got into his head again. Do you think so?
Yep. Oh, thanks for asking the question at the end. I was going to do a Matt special. But no, you're spot on. Doesn't matter how much he denies it. In both games, for Pep to sort of change his team tactics and ethos, not ethos as much, but sort of his team tactics and personnel, shows that in both games, Klopp did get into his head. Because as Ian says, the first game he leaves out Sterling, which is... and plays Laporta left back, so which is a weird decision. And even in the second game, he doesn't play. Look, City, and we always discuss about Liverpool, it's all about rhythm and playing the same players, and you play the team that's been doing very brilliant for you, and you play the same formation. He changed it in two games against Liverpool in both games. So the second game, just like everyone else, that first few minutes was twitchy, and you've got to remember, it emanated from a mistake from VVD and a bad reffing decision, right? So apart from that, right, apart from the helter-skelter of a couple of crosses where sort of one came out to, you know, the dubious offside goal, I didn't think they had many clear-cut chances at all. They had plenty of possession in midfield, and I think he put too much emphasis on controlling the midfield, and he put the... What's that geezer's name that played on the left, the right, sorry? Is it Silva? The other Bernardo Silva, isn't it? Bernardo Silva came in on the right, and he kept Sané on the right, left, and he switched. He gave Sterling like almost a free roll. But so they were bound to have the possession, especially. And you've got to remember, we were without Emery and Hendo, our first two choices at number six, at DM or whatever you want to call it. So Ginny's still learning how to play that. So it took him about half an hour, 45 minutes, you could say, to get into the rhythm of things. I wasn't as panicky as everyone else, or as a lot seemed to be. It was a lot of control. It was a lot of controlled possession. They had control, but I didn't think we were out of control. I don't think we were sort of that under pressure in terms of chances and our keeper making miraculous saves, because he didn't.
Ian, they have a few chances. There's one that hits the bar. There's a goal that probably should have been given. But they're 1-0 up. And at half-time, Guardiola loses the plot altogether. How much is that because of the decisions or the way the game has gone? And how much of it is he knows this is slipping from... Is most of it that it's slipping from him, or is it most of it just down to them decisions?
It'll be a combination of the lot. I think when a goal is so wrongly ruled out, when you're chasing a 3-goal deficit and then you have a goal robbed from you like that, then you're going to lose the plot, you know what I mean? Going at 2-0, like Matt said, that is a completely different game. That it fucked them up. Him getting sent to the stands certainly didn't help. How can he tell his players at half time? I don't even know if he's allowed in the changes at half time if he's been sent off. But how can he then try and relay, stay calm, don't lose your shit, this will happen, you know what I mean? We'll get there. If he's just gone fucking apeshit and gone up to the crowd, I think Klopp's got Pep's number. Is that like 7 times he's beat him now? Something like 40% of Guardiola's defeats in his career have come at the end of Klopp. It's mental. But I just think they had more chance if they'd have played the team that they played against Spurs today, the normal formation, and just went for it. They're the best team in the league. There's a reason why they're pissed in the league. So go at it. Have faith in your own players. And don't try and be too smart. Don't try and be too clever. We didn't fuck around. We didn't change formation or anything like that. And it just played into our hands.
No, it did play into our hands. And you know, I don't think he's allowed in the change rooms. I think he's sent straight to the stand. No. And you could see the mix-up. Nobody knew who was going up to get the information. Nobody knew who was staying down the touchline to receive the information and pass it on.
It certainly didn't help, like. Certainly didn't help.
Matt, it second half starts, and when I'm watching it, I'm just thinking, just score a goal. Just score a goal, because they can't go at this pace that they've gone at in the first half, and this goal completely knocks the wind out of them. And we get the goal, and you put up a lovely tweet yesterday with really dramatic fucking music and everything behind it, and it's gone completely mental. But to be fair...
Did I tell you I had a big tweet?
Yeah, no, you did tell
me. I told you.
On numerous occasions. Funny enough, I've watched the goal so many times, but actually watching it to your dramatic backdrop, that tears City apart, and I don't think it's given enough credit. I think that the finish from Salah has given loads of credit, but the pass from Wijnaldum to Oxlade-Chamberlain onto Salah, onto Mane, who probably should have a penalty, but to get that goal, 10 minutes into the second half, it suited us down to the ground then, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Can I ask just a quick one.
Sure.
If Salah doesn't score, or Salah doesn't get onto that, do you think Mane is getting a decision there?
Nah, that ref's not giving anything.
Okay.
He's giving yellow cards out all day, but he's not giving anything else. He was terrible, I thought. Absolutely terrible. He didn't even flinch when Mane went down, it wasn't he? He didn't even put his arms up to say play on or anything like that. He was just... Yeah, we had to get the goal there, but just... I mean, pulling it back to getting a half time was absolutely amazing. From conceding so early to shore it up as much as we did. I know we conceded a fair few chances and we got a little bit lucky, but to give them not many shots on target, I was so happy how far we've come as a team. To look back to the start of the season, just little incidents like Mane, the red card, and we just crumble. Tottenham, one mistake by Lovren, and we just crumble. We haven't seen that since December time now, and we are a much stronger team, as in not the players we got, just our mentality. So to get in a half time, I was made up, and then to come out, we definitely pushed up about 10 yards. Genie was on the ball a lot more, because I thought in the first half, whenever one of our midfield grabbed the ball, he was just surrounded. We had no space, we had nothing, there was no options, no one was moving, everyone was just thinking, fuck they're going to attack, and you could see they were all nervous on the ball. So it was good to see in the second half Genie just jinking past someone and creating space for Ox, and from then on it's just
poetry.
Magical. It's just
poetry in motion, isn't it? Poetry in motion.
Absolutely is, mate. It's exactly what we've been looking at all season. Everyone's getting involved. Everything, every single little part of that was perfect. You see, that pass to the outside of the foot, Salah, one touch and then pass again. He has to get that off in that split second, otherwise the move breaks down. Mane's first touch, nutmegs fucking Laporte. It was just all beautiful. I absolutely loved it. And what's up?
No, nothing. Sorry.
just
got to see even Salah after the pass, he does the usual thing of what our attackers do. They don't give up. He's there. He's anticipating that the ball might drop, and it's perfect. And what a chip that was! What under the pressure, they've battered us for 60 minutes to chip that ball at that angle. Unbelievable! I love that lad.
That's a proper finisher's goal, and it's in the heat of it. And the speed of everything going on, he has the awareness to know that this defender's going to slide across the ground to try block a shot, and he just lifts
that's
it.
That's a goal. That's a goal that you do when you've got 37 goals already to your name. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can.
If you've only got three goals all season, you don't fucking take that chance. You swat it as hard as you can.
You're absolutely smashing energy as hard as you can, and hoping it goes in.
But the beauty of it is, he actually didn't look to me as if he was 100% fit. But they were so shit scared of him, right? And you're right. That's a pure confidence goal. He still had an influence in the game, and that's how amazing this kid is. Because he wasn't. You could tell he's not 100%. I think Mane was so pivotal in that win yesterday. I mean, because Salah over 30, 40 yards, Matt. Would you say it's obviously Salah's easily quicker than Mane? But Mane from that standing, because you're the one who collects all these fucking geeky stats and shit. By all accounts,
do you reckon Mane's quicker over shorter distances and Salah's over further?
I was just going to say, if you didn't butt in, Ian, I was going to say Mane from a standing start, Mane from a standing start is actually quicker. So he receives that ball on the go, and that burst of speed. That burst of speed was sensational from a standing start.
It changed what he said.
Well, it's relative. I gave it context.
Yeah. Sam was probably quick.
You did change your mind.
It's all physics, really, isn't it?
It's physics.
What was I going to say to you, Grizz? I was actually going to come on to you before you rudely interrupted Matt and brought in and then gave us context. But like Ian said, to finish it like that is unbelievable. The way he stands in front of the crowd, it's as if... And it's the first time I've really seen it. He does like standing in front of the crowd and putting his arms up. But there was a real fucking cockiness to that when he done that the other night.
It
was
I loved it.
And I've seen him do it before, but that one the other night was a real... I am the fucking dog's bollocks, and here I am, and what are you going to do about it? But I read something after the game, or maybe the day after, saying that Klopp had a word with him at halftime and said, listen, this isn't going the way we'd like it to go, and I'm not too sure the way it will go, but we're going to do it our way. From here on in, we're doing it our way. I don't think he was happy with the first half and the way we played. We were quite passive in the way we played. But if you watch even that ball and from Wijnaldum to Oxlade-Chamberlain, it wasn't happening in the first half. Chamberlain was backing himself to get ahead of Wijnaldum and get on the ball, and we opened them up. But Grizz, I think that was 39 goals he had for the season before yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me? Do you think he looked like I am it and nobody's fucking stopping me?
Oh, absolutely. You're right. That's the first time we've seen sort of not arrogance in his... You know, in this celebration, but sort of in terms of total confidence, and also not only his celebration, which was magnificent, you know, but the team celebration. And I think the way, you know, that video, Matt, is where you can see all the team running up to him. Sort of, they knew, and I think that's a sign of confidence. They knew we're going to hold out, because a sign of sort of weakness maybe in the past would have been where players would have been calling everyone back and saying, look, we've still got half an hour to go yet or something? Maybe a bit more. Something like that. So in the past, you'd have seen players calling everyone back, let's not celebrate yet. There's loads of time yet. But I think the way we celebrate, I think that's another sign of confidence and maturity in this team. Like, we fucked you now. Yeah? Because they came at us, gave us everything they had, scored a goal in the first minute, and then we've gone and just killed all their hopes. And I think Salah's celebration... And the team celebration, I think that was another sign of actual confidence that this team is actually going places. And we're going to hold out now. Because after that, they were completely dead. We actually controlled the rest of the 30 minutes. And all you could hear is the fucking amazing, amazing fans in the background.
Well, when the goal went in, there was Salah, who stands in front of the crowd. There was the rest of the team that come at them. But when live, actually watching it live, when the ball hits the net, the crowd behind them, it's like a fucking blur. Like, there's that many people going all over the shop. Like, you couldn't even make out faces. There was just bodies everywhere. And even the crowd knew then, Dan, oh, that's it now. And City straight away, heads were down, shoulders were slumped. It was game over. And then Ian, enter Bobby Firmino, the fella that's definitely better than Morata. We all know that. We've said it a long time. People that, actually, in fairness, Steve-O's even admitted now that he was wrong, and he's delighted how well Firmino's doing. But, He takes advantage of the myth that is fucking this clown playing at the back for them, Otamendi. He is fucking shocking. In a team that has run away and won the league today because of United's result, he is appalling. But the one thing I will say is the way Firmino takes it, moves in and passes it across this amazing goalkeeper and leaves him no chance. icing on the cake, wasn't it, Ian?
Yeah, it was, boss. I thought... Second half, I thought Firmino was outstanding. You know, he plays like a left mid.
Yeah.
Goes out to the left. And the amount of time he just controlled the ball, slowed the game down, never lost possession. And he didn't just get it and play the easy pass. He'd get it and he'd roll someone and he'd put it in between a couple of players. He was just fantastic. Showed a completely different side of his game. He must be a manager's dream him to have in that squad, because he'll do any job you'd ask him. Do you know what I mean? He probably didn't even want to be a striker at the beginning of the season, and Klopp's moulded them into that position. But yeah, mate, like you said, it's a strange position to be in, a 3-0 lead, innit? Because you don't want to play, you can't play, psychology in sport's a big deal, and you can't play your natural game where we're going to try and beat them, because we don't need to. So it was strange, but as soon as we got that goal, 35, 40 minutes to go. It's a strange position for a game to be over with 40 minutes to go. But you could just see, they sunk, we rose. The fans, it was just party mode then. They couldn't get the ball off one Alden for the next fucking 30 minutes.
Oh, he was a monster second half, yeah.
It was just a perfect performance, like a European performance. Klopp is so underrated with his tactics, it's unreal. It's very subtle, the differences that he makes. But to play Firmino on the left, you don't even realise what he's doing there half the time. But it was just tremendous.
Matt,
and Otamendi is dog shit as well.
He's fucking horrendous. Like, you know what I mean? To me, like, the money they've spent, you look at, he doesn't seem like he's John Stone's biggest fan at the minute. Guardiola.
He's injured. No, he loves him.
Is he injured? I thought he was back in the squad, and I heard something last week that he hadn't been playing. He was favouring Otamendi and company, and then Laporte. But looking at the defenders they have, I think it's somewhere where they need to look at again centre half, because I don't think company's the player he was. I don't think Otamendi's any good. Stones is all right, I suppose. But Matt, if we come out of that game at 1-1, and we say, look, yeah, we got bashed a bit in the first half. We managed to get an equaliser. City's legs went and their heads went a bit and the shoulders went down and you know, they gave in. But to go and beat them 2-1, do you think it'll have any effect going into next season? Because they're going to start as favourites again next season. But do you think it'll have any effect to know that, no, these lads here have done us now 3 fucking times out of 4 last season and they're well up for us? Will that have any sort of psychological effect on them, do you think?
It might have an effect in the games we play them. It won't have an effect on the other teams playing us, like, but it'll be on Pep's mind and the players' mind. They know what we're capable of. But more, I think, it was a statement to the other lads in the Champions League, to the other 3 teams left. It was a statement like, even if we are third in the league, we had a bad start, but we're a fucking team now. We've got a great defence, our midfield is clicking, and the attack's unreal. That was more what it was about than next season, I think. Everyone's looking at the draw and thinking they want Roma, but everyone's looking at that draw and thinking they don't want us anymore. We were the underdogs. I mean, I prefer being the underdogs, but we were the underdogs from early days, and we're not anymore.
But just a quick, just adding to that, do you know they beat Spurs yesterday, right? And City, did any of you see the game? They actually tore Spurs a new one, right, at their ground, and Spurs are this sort of super club, aren't they, in terms of defensive stability and how organised Pochettino is and whatnot. It just shows, and you got to remember, this is the same Spurs team that were unlucky against Juve, was it? And who was in their group? Dortmund and a couple of other teams.
Real Madrid.
So exactly. So Europe would have seen that game, and you got to remember, it just shows you how good we were against City, to see sort of City rip Spurs apart. And everyone talks about Spurs being some amazingly organised and defensive team with Wanyama and Dai and whatnot. So I think the whole of Europe, you know, I heard the Roma, the Roma pundits and sort of commentators saying, oh, we wanted Liverpool. That's bollocks. They didn't want Liverpool. I don't think they wanted Liverpool, man. Nobody wants Liverpool at the moment.
No, I don't think so. Just the last word on it, and probably more so over the 2 legs than just Tuesday on its own. But Ian, I'll come to you first. The defence that has been much maligned for months, years, I suppose, and there's been a big change since Van Dijk came in. He's a settling influence. He's talking people through games. He's making them relax. He's letting them play their own game rather than trying to do 3 jobs at once. I think of Lovren straight away when I say that, because Lovren felt he had to do 5 things at once to be a defender for Liverpool. Now he just does his job. But overall, for you, the defence, how impressed were you by them, considering Trent was targeted, or supposedly the very, very weak link that City were going to expose? And then you have Robertson on the other side, who, let's be honest, last season was playing for, all intents and purposes, a fucking championship team. For that back four, and the goalkeeper, to do that over 2 legs against that sort of City side, how big a thing is it for them, and how big is the progress? Because it's definitely progress now. It's not a flash in the pan thing. This is progress.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And the worry that the rest of the Prem have got, or the rest of Europe have got, is that even though Liverpool can score 3 and 4 goals, but yet they can concede 3 and 4 as well. That was our problem. You know what I mean? End to end, you have a goal, we'll have a goal. if we could shut up shop at the back but maintain our threat up front, then we really are a proper, proper side. Do you know what I mean? Van Dijk's come in and he's settled that entire back five, with him included. They just look... I don't think Robertson has developed as much if Van Dijk's not alongside him. I don't think Trent would develop as much if he didn't have a confident keeper behind him. All of this stems from Virgil van Dijk, do you know what I mean? They all deserve credit, don't get me wrong. But him coming in, you can tell how good he's been, because how many people have hit us with the £75 million price tag since he's come in? No one mentions it. All they're saying is Liverpool have improved loads. You're talking about City in their defence. I said it last week, put him in that City defence and we are fucked. They're winning the Champions League with it. They balled up, not going massive for him. Massive. They're spending £50 million on John Stones and fucking eight million, fucking 8 billion on that Mangala, who is absolute plop. They just spunk money on overpriced shit. He's the one they should have went for. But they just look tremendous. Like, Karius looks like a different keeper. Lovren looks outstanding next to Virgil van Dijk. Lovren's the type of defender, when he's on his absolute game, he's an excellent defender. He cannot go below his absolute best. He's not good enough to get away with being all right, if you know what I mean. He's got to be at his best. So I still think if Van Dijk got injured, it'd still be a worry. Do you know what I mean? But he's a Rolls Royce, mate. Just the way he glides around the pitch. And they're going on. City were going on about having that goal disallowed in the second leg. But their goal shouldn't have stood, because it's a blatant foul. I don't care how small, like, Raheem the arse Sterling is. He still throws Van Dijk over when he's playing that ball. It's a foul. So, and... Another, a lesser player would have lost their shit 2 minutes in, but he didn't. He just got back in position, reorganised, and they just went again. It's brilliant.
And then start tripping him up on the slow as well.
Yeah, just, he did, yeah. That's what I mean. I love that. I love all that. Yeah, we've like, been saying for months, haven't we? Yeah. We need a little bit of the dark arts. I love
that. You know what? There was no need for it to do it, because Sterling is running, like, Sterling's 40 yards from goal. He's nowhere near the back pass. Like, Carey's going to, and he just does it to go, I'll fucking do that to you. And what are you going to do?
He's done it. Because he could get away with it,
yeah,
and that's the place to do it.
Because I can.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm going to upset you.
Whereas someone like Moreno would shiv you in the penalty box because he's not very smart.
Yeah,
or Lovren will fucking, it'd be dead obvious. Do you know what I mean? Van Dijk's a clever man. He's done it miles away. The referee's not on. He's not focusing on that. Mate, I've seen that replay 20 times, and you can barely see him do it in the replay. Yeah. You've got to see it at a real angle.
Yeah.
Boss, I love all that.
Yeah, great.
Especially with Sterling as well. Loved it.
Right, just to finish up on this, I'll get on to Roma now and the draw itself and what you all think of it. But I have two questions, one for Matt, one for Grizz. I'll go with you and force Matt. Trent isn't...
Grizz will just interrupt anyway.
Yeah, Trent isn't in the Young Player of the Year nominations, apparently, at Steve Red 16 tells us there on Periscope. He says Trent isn't in the nominations for Young Player of the Year. Do you think he should be?
Based on the last month and a half, yes. Based on the whole season, maybe not. Might be right. Who's in it?
I don't know who's in it. He just said
Harry Kane.
25-year-old Harry Kane.
Is he? He's not.
He's in it, but he's 24. It's because his birthday was 23rd July last year, and it's anyone.
He's probably taking someone else's birthday, in fairness. You
know I mean? 23 at the start of the season, that's why he's in it. Yeah, I know he's in it. Who else? Probably Rashford. A couple of us. No,
Sonny.
I'm in
it. Sonny.
Yeah, Sonny.
Hey, excuse me.
Who?
Sessegnon was in it. He's not even in the Prem. How's that work?
Is he?
No, he can't.
Is he?
He set him up on Twitter.
It says last night he pissed on Jen.
Possibly. Yeah. But I did read it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Like,
do you know what? I'm not going to kick off over that. It's fair enough. He's come on leaps and bounds lately. Not too long ago, we were calling for him to get dropped for a little bit for Gomez and stuff. So, yeah, it's fair enough. Like,
I was.
No,
well, Ian is just upset that Seth Young's in it. He doesn't care about Trent. But, right, so, Grizz, second question. We touched on this a little while ago about Trent maybe getting in the England squad for Russia. And my thing is, I wouldn't like to see him in the squad for Liverpool's benefit. Have the summer off, recharge the batteries, you know, and get a good pre-season under his belt instead of being away with England. But do you see him getting into the England squad?
I think I think momentum's the key thing, and it's all about timing your kind of form, isn't it? And I think with the high glamour games he's been involved in and absolutely excelled in every single one, I think he may get in there, but I'm like you, I really hope he doesn't. Honest to God, I hope he doesn't, because the guy's 19 still, right? He's 19, and he needs to recuperate all summer and relax and grow, yeah, as well, physically as well. And trust me, you grow more when you're sleeping, so you need he needs plenty of sleep. What were you going to say?
Did he play under 21s last summer?
I think he did.
No.
Yeah, he shouldn't be in there.
He played under 21s, but he weren't in the tournament last year.
We've got a client coming back as well. He can get into the team. He's had a rest all season. Like, if I was England manager, I'd take Klein and Walker myself.
You'd take Klein?
Yeah.
The England manager?
If he gets minutes under his belt before the end of the season, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so
would I. He's a great defender. He came in the other week, and it was like he's never been away. The only thing to worry for him is his fitness, but he came in and he was just, again, solid client seven. He gave you everything you know you're going to get from him.
Yeah,
I
think Trippier is the one that might stop playing.
Yeah,
he's amazing, he's good.
Get Klopp 64 just asked, well, should Trent, and it's often asked, should Trent be moved into central midfield or midfield? And my opinion is, I really don't think he will play there under Klopp. Especially the midfielders we're after, and especially the midfielders we have. I think he absolutely loves Trent as the attacking right back, and in my opinion, the best right attack. I tweeted it. I said, in my opinion, he's got the best distribution passing range from a fullback area in the Premier League, even at this age, and he's 19.
Well, if he's got the best distribution, wouldn't you have him in the centre?
Who?
Trent.
Well, no. See, the thing is, it all depends about how your coach sees the
setup of his team. It's a different type of distribution, isn't it?
Yeah, and Klopp prefers his width or attacking intent coming from his fullbacks rather than his central mids. Yeah, so I think
if he's progressing how he is now, I would like to see him move to the centre in a few years.
Possibly, but I don't think he'll ever play there under Klopp.
I do.
I think he might in years to come, but now I think it's similar to the Gomez situation. I think he wants to give Gomez a look at right back before he actually puts him into preferred position. I think Trent's preferred position would be in the centre midfield, but I don't think right now. And I don't think Trent would be very wise to push for a centre midfield role if he was to go to Klopp, because I think the strength we have in there may hinder him. I think he should stay where he is, and we'll see how it goes. Ian,
the way it is, Trent at the moment is probably the best attacking fullback, right fullback in Europe. His distribution is scandalous. So why
scandalously good?
Yeah. So unless we sign a player who's world class at right back, and there's not many knocking about, then you just keep Trent where he is. He offers us more as a right-back than he would as a central midfielder.
Do you think he wants to stay there, though? Because he's played centre-mid his whole life. Exactly. He's going to push. He picked up the right-back mould. I think, who was he talking to? Peplinders or something? And he started learning the right-back role so he could get into the team. But well, I don't think he wants to stay there. Well, I'm guessing Alex, there, like...
Yeah, apparently, I'm telling you facts.
Oh, it,
you
Inglethorpe, guessed, isn't it? Yeah.
It was Alex Inglethorpe who actually said... play right back and you'll be a star there. I think the beauty of Tar is that he doesn't actually mind playing there. He won't be knocking on Klopp's door. He's such a good kid as well. And I've always said he's a learner. He's a good learner. He's got a good head on him. He's absolutely.
I have never once heard you say that.
Say what?
So you don't even say know what he said. Full of shit. You've always said that he's got a good head on his shoulders and he's a learner. Nah. I've never, ever heard you say that.
Now, you don't listen to me, that's why. But, yeah, no, he's a top...
If he's going to knock on Klopp's door, he doesn't have to do it in a knobhead way. Just because he's a good kid doesn't mean he doesn't go up and say, listen, can I get a chance to send him in?
No, but I mean, in terms of, he's not bothered about where he plays at the moment. He's at that age for at least 2 years, 3 years, he will play wherever. He's at that.
Well, that's what I just said. In about 2 years' time, I think he's going to go centre.
Gris obviously knows. Obviously knows Trent's mentality from all the long conversations he has with
him. He's got a direct line into Trent's head.
Industry.
It's in the industry.
But listen, I want to get your reactions to the draw. Firstly, I said it openly that I'd take any of them, and I didn't care whether we played them home or away first. That's just the frame of mind I'm in. The one reservation I had was I would rather Real Madrid in a two-legged game rather than a final, because I think they're cheating fucks and they'll do anything they can in a 90-minute or 120-minute game to get the job done. Ian, were you open to any of them? Did you prefer somebody? Was there a dream way you wanted this to go? And we end up with Roma. You have to be happy, don't you?
Yeah, man. Like I said on Twitter, at the beginning of the season, if someone would have offered you Roma in the Champions League semi-final, you'd have fucking bit their hand off. Do you know what I mean? Well, I said something a bit more crude than
that. Yeah, you would have sucked them all off. We know that.
Yeah, I said that. Sucked them off. But yeah, nah, when the draw was coming out, I always give it all the bravado and that, but then there's still a part of me that thinks Roma aren't as good as Bayern Munich or as good as Real Madrid. So on paper, that's the easier of the three games. It's still a very, very hard game. You're still going to have to be at the top of your form to knock them out. I mean, they've just done one of the best performances in the Champions League history to turn that over against Barcelona, which I was made up about, to be honest. But yeah, I'd have took Roma all day long. I personally prefer Madrid in a one-off game than two.
Would you? I just have this thing about Madrid where they get to a final and they find a way to fucking cheat their way through it. And I think I just think that they do anything to stop their style of play, and at the same time they'd be trying to get us booked and sent off, and they'd drag it down to a horrible, horrible fucking level.
I think we do Madrid and I think we do Roma. I'm just not sure about Bayern, because I just don't know, because they're dead old, so you think we get about them at the back, you know what I mean? Well, they're not dead old, do you know what I mean? But they've been around for ages, and I fancy it, but I just don't know how it would go with Bayern. I've got a feeling Bayern are going to do Madrid over two legs, and it'll be us Bayern in the final.
If it is, I'm more than happy, because I've said from the very start of the season, if we get hold of Bayern, I think we do them, and we do them easy.
I think Klopp would fit Bayern if he could.
Yeah, I just think, don't get me wrong, we played him in pre-season. Ancelotti was on his last legs. He looked a very lost man at the time. But the way Bayern tried to play, and I don't think Robin played that day, but he tried to play through Ribery, again, attacking Trent, and even Trent lifted him up in the air a couple of times as if to say, no, this isn't happening. And we were just devastating, and they had no answer to any sort of pace. They had no answer to any sort of pace. They really didn't. But in saying that, Phil from the Trippers has been on to me saying, no, they have this and they have that and they have that. I don't fucking care what they have. I think we do them. That's just the frame of mind I'm in. Matt, Roma, first leg in Anfield, second leg in the Olympico. All good, all happy. Still have that plane booked for, plane ticket booked for Kiev, yeah?
Yeah, and I think I'm getting a plane booked for Roma as well. I've said since January.
Sorry. Sharon Yates, A47, thinks you're really hot. It must be a friend of yours just how to go on the Periscope.
That's a bot.
Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, Dave.
I've said since January, I want the easiest route into the final. I want Roma and then I want Bayern. I think Bayern on a one-off game, we've got more chance against than Real Madrid. I agree with Gav. I think they're cheating scumbags. UEFA want them to win. It'll be a difficult game. So yeah, Roma, I know we all didn't want Barca and they put Barca out, but they're still the easiest team in that last four. I just wish it was at home second leg.
Are Madrid on course to win it three times in a row or something?
They are, yeah.
No, they didn't win it last year.
Zidane's gone, isn't he?
No, they did. Did they win it last year?
Have they won it the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought they won it three out of four.
No, I think they're on course
Did they?
Yeah, they're on course. And that's why everyone's sort of suspicious about
it. Cardiff, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I won loads of dough on that.
So, yeah, I think a lot of people are suspicious about UEFA doing all they can to make sure, you know, Madrid win it three times in a row or something, you know?
Yeah, well, even if you look at it there, if Barcelona had a win through, Madrid and Barcelona were kept apart in the semis. You know,
yeah,
and a lot of people say that. Ian is saying that for I don't know how long.
Yeah,
they're heating the balls up, they're fucking doing everything. Do you want their dream is an El Clasico Champions League final.
And nobody likes hot balls.
No. definitely not.
No.
Unless, I don't know, chicken balls are nice.
Kofta balls, meatballs, not chicken balls, kofta, meat kofta balls.
What meat is kofta? Is that like a moody lamb?
Moody lamb.
Some sort of jarg lamb, as Ian would say.
Yeah, jarg lamb.
Jarg lamb.
Come here then. Grizz, are you happy? With life in general, just, are you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know you're happy with the draw. I know you're going to tell us it's going to be 2-2 in each leg. I know what's
no,
what's
no, we've coming. Got... No, no, I don't want to go away from my predictions. Forget the predictions on that. But, yeah, very happy with the draw. The fact that their back three or their centre-backs are and their full-backs are... The whole defence is really slow. They're the cumbersome, tall, physical types. And they're really... But we love players like that. We love centre-backs like that. And they do tend to play three at the back, which we also... do a tendency to enjoy playing against as well. The strength, in my opinion,
that slow.
Manali is not quick though. But yeah, he's easily their best centre back. But Fazio and Jesus,
the one that was in the Prem?
Yeah, it's the Spurs one. Seven foot four. And you got Alexander Kolarov on the in that left wing back role. So if we can get Salah optimum fitness and get him going, that should be fun. I mean, look, where it's going to be, it's going to be a battle, I think, in midfield. I think they're going to make it really, really hard for us. They've got their three proper physical type players in midfield, central midfield, which is going to be where it's going to be played. But confident over two legs, definitely confident. Again, just like Matt, I would have loved to see...
We've got Jimmy Milner.
Midfield. Yeah, exactly. James Milenero.
I listened to something during the week, and a guy from Roma was saying that despite the 4-1 at the Nou Camp, Roma played quite well. They actually scored 2 own goals, but managed to get that goal, I think it was from Dzeko at the end, to make a 4-1. And they played a 4-5-1 that night, but they changed then to like a 3-4-3 at home because they needed games. Now, for me, 4-5-1 doesn't really bother me. They'll pack the midfield, but they still only have 3 in there. And they'll cover air. They'll try cover air wide men, but 3-4-3. I'm just going, please, for the love of God, play 3-4-3 against us, because I think we'd fucking destroy them. But look,
mate, I think if Liverpool had drawn 0-0 at home with City, we'd have went out. I think if we draw 0-0 at home with Roma, we could still go through. That's the difference. I think they need an away goal. It's all about Dzeko. You stop Dzeko and you stop Roma.
I was going to say it's very crucial that we get Van Dijk, because we know Dzeko's going to do what Lukaku done and sort of what Benteke done and try to go away from VVD. We got to make sure VVD is the one that just puts him out of the game, because you're right, Ian, he is the fucking... And I love Dzeko. I think he's the most underrated striker in recent times.
Yeah, somebody's on there saying, what's the noises in the background? That's probably my wife and daughter running amok in the sitting room. That's probably
trying to get out the cupboard.
Yeah.
One of them's got the hands
they fucking
loose.
Know they'd be in the cupboard from 7 to 9 on a Sunday. Like, I don't know what they keep doing this part of the week. But no, that probably is my wife and daughter. That fucking just mayhem in the sitting room, from what I can hear. So just ignore them. I'll have a word after this with them. Right, moving on.
I'll have a word.
I'm losing weight. I'm taking no shit.
Do you know what? This new skinny Gav's proper aggressive.
He's proper aggressive. He's
skinny Gav has been kicking off on everyone on WhatsApp.
He's proper bullying people.
I've obsessed so many people. It's unbelievable.
Irish word with them.
Yeah. No, she punched the head at me, in fairness. And that's my daughter, not even my wife. But moving
that's
on.
Cause she can...
That's because what?
You can reach your head.
But look, moving on. Bournemouth. And I said to you before this that this is probably not a boring game to talk about, but there's not a lot of instant apart from us dominating from start to finish. And as much as it's not, you know, City and in a Champions League, it's the games I love where we just go and we win, and we win handsomely, and we have no messing about. The team for me was brilliant. The way he lined up, he just changed Henderson for Milner. I think it was the only change. And he went for it, and he's putting these teams to bed, and that's it. Ian, a 3-0 win, and we come out of it. Confidence continues to build. The squad looks... you know, the squad amongst themselves look in great shape. The camaraderie there between them, even Henderson after the game is having a little go off Harry Kane, which I thought was great. But, you know, a big game during the week, we get to the weekend, he keeps faith with all these players, we win 3-0. You can't ask for any more than that, can you?
No, and how fit do we look? Oxlade-Chamberlain looked like he was on steroids, you know what I mean? He just didn't slow down. It was possibly my favourite game of Oxlade-Chamberlain for us.
Well, he didn't play like the first half of the season, did he? He's got rested legs.
Shut up. But the rest of them, no. Do you know what I mean? They're just fit as fuck. Our fitness team are incredible. The injuries we've got are through muscle strains and they've been impact injuries, haven't they? So we've got the best in the business. We put out our team. To be fair, Bournemouth weren't really up for it, was they? They weren't good enough. They looked a bit more dangerous when they put Callum Wilson. They looked a bit more dangerous with him up front, but mate, you know what Liverpool are at the moment? Liverpool aren't just playing really well. Liverpool are a really good side now. So to beat Liverpool, you've got to be on it, and we've got to be off it, if you know what I mean. Very few teams can turn us over when we're at the races. I think if the league started tomorrow, I think we'd be a hell of a lot closer to City than we are right now at the end of the season. I think we are a fantastic side at the moment, like, just dead comfortable. We've got the best young right-back in the world. We've got a Rolls-Royce centre-half. I just want to give them all reach arounds, mate. They're just boss at the minute, like.
You're really putting yourself out there, aren't you? Like you're sucking everyone off 1 week, you're reaching around.
I've been single a while. Yeah. Losing weight, turning me homosexual, I think.
Yeah. You could probably end up on...
Don't get many fat gays. You don't get many fat gays.
Do you not?
No, not really.
You're not fat anymore. Like you could end
Christopher
up...
Christopher Biggins, that's what I mean.
Ah, come on, Gav.
the skinnier I'm getting, the gayer I'm getting. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'd say there's potpourri and everything. I'd say there's potpourri and everything in the sitting room now, is there? The more way you live.
Mate, I've always been a fan of nice smells. Yeah. That's not to do with my size.
Feng Shui. Yeah. He's doing Feng Shui and all of the weekend now, instead of drinking.
Yeah, I pray chow mein.
Matt, looking into the game, we start off really well. We control it from the start. Mane opens the score on a good bottom Henderson. Header is saved and he's on the spot again really quickly and he's just burying it, and any hope for Bournemouth has gone there and then. They look like they've taken their defeat after 7 or 8 minutes. Do you think that, Matt?
They haven't got much chance. They have to. That was one of the most enjoyable games for me, where I could just relax, my feet were up, and just watch the game. I wasn't worried about us conceding. I wasn't worried about us like just breaking down or a moment of madness. I was just sheer confidence in the whole game, and it's nice. It's enjoyable to finally have that after 5 seasons of my heart rate being about 160 and just shit myself every single game, no matter who we're playing. So now it was just really professional. It was as Ian touched on, it was the performance of a title-winning team. That's what it was. The little teams, we would have drawn that game a couple of seasons ago, and now we're just cruising through them. We didn't get our second gear, and it was just nice and easy. Mane is absolutely on form at the moment. He's our most influential player in the last few weeks. He's been unbelievable. I love the lad. So I'm so happy he got the first, and for the magic three to get one, I was made up.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Can I just say about Mane? You know, I was talking before about little subtle changes.
Do you think he's faster, like over long periods, than Salah? Or do you think Salah's quicker from a stand and start?
Well, I think he definitely beat Salah in an arm wrestle.
You should be asking me that, because obviously I know that.
But it's the little subtle differences. And I think Mane now, he's almost playing in the position that Coutinho was playing earlier in the season. He's like in the inside left. He's dropping deeper. He's coming more as like a number 10. Brilliant. He's possibly my favourite player at Liverpool. I know that's not cool to say, because we've got a fella on the other wing scoring 3 a game. But Mane's unreal, man.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Grizz, the control Liverpool showed in this game is unbelievable for me. And you know, we touched on Trent earlier, but some of the balls he plays to Salah, it looks like him and Salah are getting a real understanding. But just the way we're going about these games, like, if we go back a season, two seasons, in Klopp's reign, let's be honest about it, we've played teams like this, and they get 20, 25 minutes into a game, and you can see the confidence building, and we're running out of ideas a little bit. For me, yesterday, all right, we get the early goal, but we never took our foot off them. We never gave them any sort of encouragement, and we basically showed them from minute one that we are way better than you, and we're going to beat you. It's just a matter of how many. How good is that for you to see that, not only creeping into our play, but being a constant nearly in our play now as the season goes on?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's as Matt says, it's a lovely feeling when you can sort of go into a game, and we did go into that game sort of feeling that it's just a foregone conclusion. Do you know what I mean? It was that easy. The only thing I was worried about in the slightest was injuries. I was like, every time Salah sort of got into a tackle or any of them, that's the only thing that I was actually worried about. There was never any doubt about the result. The team, and you're right, in games past, in seasons past, especially after a Champions League or a European game in the week, against this type of team, you know, slow start, you know, frustration in the crowd and in the players and on the pitch as well, but we had nothing of that. The crowd was obviously still buoyant from the City game, and I think the players and the focus of the manager was right on it as well, and it's, you know, when the front three scored like that as well, it's beautiful as well. The camaraderie, the team spirit as well in the camp, obviously it helps when you're winning, but it seems to be, I don't know it, you know, Ian, but it seems to be spot on. You know, it seems to be top camaraderie in the team. And Trent, you mentioned Trent. I think Trent, I know Ox, a lot of people said, Ian said Ox, it was Ox's favourite, his personal favourite as in Ox's game. But I think Trent Alexander-Arnold was absolutely magnificent in that game. And to control and have such an influence from a right back at that age, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. Ian, I'm going to come on to you for the second goal. And it involves Trent, and it's that man Salah again, and it's 40 up for the season. But if you watch Salah throughout the game up until this goal, he's snatching at a couple of things. It looked like this top goal scorer thing was not getting to him, but a little bit in his mind, and he was trying to put things away and trying to put his
don't be starting that.
No. I think he was trying to put it out. I think he was... it was the first time I've seen him where... No, he didn't look...
I agree with Gaff.
No, he didn't look sure of himself.
Of course you do.
But there was... For me, it was something like... There was one where he got it early, and it was a great bottom Trent. He takes it lovely, comes in, and he kind of swipes at the ball. It goes on target, don't get me wrong. But I think usually Salah be bending that or, you know, hitting it a lot cleaner. But just when you think in that is it getting to him? He goes and does this fucking header, which is fucking ridiculous. And although I love the header, I have to go with the ball for it, which is absolutely inch perfect from about 50 yards. Ian, how good a goal was that?
Mate, at the time when it's 1-0, they were never going to score. So it's hard to get you out of your seat, do you know what I mean? But I can't think of another right-back in the world who can play a pass like that. Maybe Dani Alves in his prime, that was his type of pass. He's that talented, Trent. I think that's why he will stay at right back, because of the delivery he gives from out wide like that, and from a deep position as well, so the defence can't even get set. It's not like he's getting to the byline and pulling it back. He's doing it from fucking 50, 60 yards out. He's unbelievable. And I do think, to be honest, I think Salah's had quite a few games like that lately, but he's just getting it done. Do you know what I mean? He just keeps going and he keeps going, and he's relentless. He's like a magnet. Like, the amount of chances he gets, and he took a couple of wrong options yesterday where he should have squared it or whatever, but you can understand why he's not passing, because he's scoring fucking for fun, you know what I mean? I think Steve McManaman said in the commentary after the game, he's buried that because he hasn't had time to think about it at all. He's just gone off pure instinct. Do you know what I mean? And I thought it was a brilliant goal. You need a bit of luck. He doesn't know where the keeper is, but he's played the percentages, hasn't he? It's boss. But like a friend of our pod, Aaron said, he was finished because he hadn't scored in the first 8 minutes. I think he said something like that, paraphrasing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You've just got to give fucking, just got to give Salah, just leave him alone. Eventually he will score. 90 minutes, he's just going to score. Just leave him alone. I'm happy with him missing six or seven, because he gets fucking, He gets 15 chances a game. I've never, for a man who doesn't play centre forward, I've never seen a wide forward get as many chances as him. It's incredible.
It's incredible.
Mm. Yeah. Like Matt said before, his anticipation is off the chart. His movement is fantastic from inside to in. He's got like a striker's instinct. He's tremendous.
Yeah, he really is. And before I go on to the tour goal, talking about, you know, how we control a game and how we take other teams' emotion out of it. We're just drilling them down into this sort of outlook where they just know they're beaten. I watched so many teams over the years go to Old Trafford and come out on the pitch, and you know by looking at them they're beaten. And like Eddie Howe after the game was all like, we played a really good team. We played one of the best teams in Europe there today. And basically saying, we're not fucking good enough to compete against these. And we knew it. And we knew it from early. But the tour goal is from Firmino. Firmino, I think a couple of minutes earlier, gets fucking upended. But the tour goal, Matt, is Firmino. And that is now 25 for the season for Firmino. How is the stats going on Firmino, Matt? Are you still keeping them up? And how far behind is Morata? Because that's the most interesting thing.
I was actually thinking about this today. I was going to give Steve a little jab. I haven't kept them up, no, but he's well ahead of Morata anyway, so, because Morata's shite. It's just, if we didn't have Salah scoring 40 like a madman, then everyone would be shouting about how world-class Firmino is, because he, what's he on now, 25, yeah. It's unbelievable. For a player that offers so much defensively, I'm not even just talking about running around at the top and pressing people down. He's running back past the midfielders to make tackles, to start stuff. He's everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Another friend of the pod, Ben Webb, put a tweet out today saying he's literally every position moulded into one, and I couldn't agree with him more. It's the goals are a bonus to what he does. That's why I've always fancied him as our nine, with them two wide, fast people either side, because even if he didn't get the goals, then he's still off on the team so much. But now he's added these goals. I'm surprised he's not in the Player of the Year shortlist.
He's not fashionable enough to be in it.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Who is in the player? Who is the shortlist?
You got David Silva, Kane, Salah, De Bruyne. There's another City one, isn't there? Is it Jesus?
It couldn't be him.
Could be Sané.
Yeah, I think it's Sané.
No, Sané's in the young one.
Yeah, but you can be in both.
Who's Kane?
I think Kane's
27.
Kane will just say he won it anyway. It doesn't matter. That's just the way it goes. Grizz, I want... It's 3-0. The game's over. And then we have, and somebody come up here and said, we see Firmino and we see Mane on the bench practicing dance moves after they're being subbed. And David De Gea, yeah, well, he's always on it. He's just penciled in from August, you know what I mean? But Grizz, I touched on it and you touched on it, the camaraderie around the team. Well, when we're winning 3-0 and we're doing it in that style, just... I often wonder, how much of it does it take out of people's legs, do you think, when you're winning games like that? Because I love the argument that if you're winning, you don't get tired. I love that argument. If you're winning, you don't get tired. Now, we've 7 days for our next game. Does that take much out of the team, do you think, when we win a game like that? Do they come off and think that was hard? Because it didn't look hard to me.
Oh, no, that was a glorified training session. I mean, that was a type of game where you sort of... It's kind of the ideal game. Before, like, a Champions League quarter-final, you could say. I mean, semi-final, I should say. I mean, next week... See, it's interesting. Next week will be far harder, sort of West Brom away. But yesterday, you could see the players are actually enjoying it. You know, as Ian says, Ox was, like, fucking... Like, it's the start of the season. Not, it's, like, the end of the coming to the end of the season. And not just Ox. You've got to remember, I mean, okay, Hendo's missed a few games. But the energy and, you know, we've got to give a shout to the captain is... You know, often vilified. I mean, he looked fresh as a daisy. The whole team, we actually looked really fresh. Even, you know, Bobby doesn't get tired. He didn't think, sort of, we're playing Bournemouth, we're strolling. Let me not track back. Let me not do the things I do in a sort of a game where it's sort of more important. He still does. He still put the effort in. I'm sure his distance covered, etc., etc., are still the same. So it's just, we're just a very oiled machine at the moment. Everyone knows their roles. Whoever comes into the midfield knows their roles. For example, straight swap between Hendo and Milner. And it's beautiful to watch. It is actually beautiful to watch. I'm really enjoying it at the moment, man. Oh, that was a glorified training session. There was no, I don't think, you know, that matters, you know, in terms of affects their physical shape for the coming week.
Yeah.
Do you know what the mad thing is? I actually think their three centre-halves played quite well.
Actually,
it was good. Had a really good game.
I think that was probably the best performance from a centre back on Salah actually that I've seen. You know, Aki actually controlled him fairly well.
They played that poorly. It's just like Grizz said, it's just levels.
It is levels.
We're much better side. We're about to be crowned kings of Europe. Do you know what I mean? Who are they?
Yeah. No. We are. It is levels, and I think the way, as I said, I think the way Eddie Howe went down after the game in his post match interviews. He knew it as well, and he wasn't going to like tell fucking lies to the Bournemouth fans watching. He basically said, listen, these are really, really good and we've done our best, but it's just not going to be good enough. What do I want to say to you? Yeah, we've 7 days for our next game. It's West Brom away. We need two more wins to guarantee Champions League football. Our remaining league games, West Brom, Stoke, Chelsea, Brighton, and one of that probably in there, but I can't. No, is that it? It might be it. But we need two more wins. Because Chelsea miraculously fucking pulled it back against Southampton, but we will get them. I don't think there's any problems there. I think we will get them. Lastly, on the game, I wanted to touch on, Ian. I'll come to you for it. And it was the 29th anniversary of Hillsborough yesterday. An emotional occasion as usual. The mosaic on the cop looked very well, and what more can we say about this? You know, this has gone from, you know, fans being blamed on things to being, you know, completely, you know, they're innocent of anything, and that's being proven in a court of law. Now there's probably civil cases going on and different things. We're not going to get into that because you're probably not allowed. But again, emotional occasion for everyone.
Yeah, it is. It's a. Any fan of Liverpool gets a bit melancholy around this time of year, but I think even more so if you're a local Red as well. Do you know what I mean? You can see that, you can go and see the memorial whenever you want. It's got a lot more visitors. You always have your minute silence, no matter where you are. You can be in shopping centres or anything like that. It's a very strange emotion. Do you know what I mean? You don't really, even though, like, the lies and all that have stopped now, they still really haven't had the justice, have they, so far? But I don't know. I don't really know how to talk about it. Elizabeth, things, you know, what can you say that hasn't already been said? Do you know what I mean? It's depressing. It's the best way I can. It takes your breath away when you're at the ground. I've been to quite a few of the memorials. I don't even go to them anymore. And that's not because I don't care anymore. That's just because they just ruin you. Do you know what I mean? They really do ruin you, like, but fair play. The families have stuck at it. It's made us stronger as a fan base. We're an incredible side, do you know what I mean? We're an incredible team. That's why the fans get on so well with the team. That's why we're a proper club, do you know what I mean? And stuff like this has helped tie those binds together, do you know what I mean? So, keep it going. Don't really know what else to say about it, just to be honest.
No, I just wanted one word for Money is on it. That was all. Because I wouldn't let the podcast go without us saying something on it. But it's always an emotional occasion. I think the club do it very well in the way they organise things on the day and stuff like that. And I have to say, of all the years that you've seen this go on at Anfield around this weekend, it's always impeccably observed, whether it's a minute's silence or a minute's applause or whatever it is. And the amount of clubs yesterday coming out and tweeting on social media about it, Arsenal, United's, we're two of the first ones I've seen yesterday morning. So
it's all around the world. Clubs from all around the world. I've seen clubs from Germany do it. There's a couple from France, Holland. Do you know what I mean? In general, people are good, aren't they? There's goodness within people, and they see the injustice. They see what we've gone through, and tragedy brings people together in most cases.
Yeah,
and it does. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Right. We're more or less going to leave it there. But during the week, he's all got us over the 500 quid. I think we're closer to six now, I think. And because of that, we've promised a bonus pod. That bonus pod is going to start, we're going to end now in a couple of minutes, and about 5 minutes later, we're going to come back online, and we're going to start again. But this is where it's all different. We don't have an agenda. We don't have anything to talk about. We'll probably just talk randomly between ourselves unless... What we do is, we did ask for some questions with a hashtag, and we have one or two. But what we do is, we just go through Periscope. I think three of us at the moment are watching the Periscope, so we're well able to pick up questions and go with it. It'll be about 40 to 45 minutes. It's going to start with a bang. I'm just letting you know that. It's definitely going to start with a bang. that's one thing I can guarantee. And then that bang will have a twist. And Grizz knows the twist, and Grizz is going to supply the twist at the end of it. We'd like to thank you all for listening again this week. We will be back in about 5 minutes or so for your bonus pod. 45 minutes. Ask what you like. Anything you like. Football, non-football, anything at all, and we'll try answer. And you know what happens when we start discussing random topics. It goes very, very, very weird. Very, very, very quickly. So that's what you can look forward to. We will be back about 5 minutes' time. But that's been the Fatback 4 for this week. The actual Fatback 4. The bonus one's coming up, as I said, in a couple of minutes. We'll see you then. And, yeah, go and get a drink. Get whatever you need. Get ready. And
you'll need some drinks, yeah.
Yeah, well, I will anyway. But we'll be back in about 5 minutes, all right? Over and out.